In Hebrews, where we are, the next section that I had was probably going to be a little longer. It's going to be at least 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and because it's quite in depth. And so, and then we had the baptism today. So, yes. Sort of. Yes, that's true. So in whatever book I was preaching in, Philippians. We are all right, Hebrews, aren't we? Well, you know how long I said that? Okay, so yeah, the memory thing. I think it's more than the eye thing. So yeah, in Philippians. Anyway, it was a longer section. And Isaac has been, Pastor Chad Welch over there, he had some classes for some of his folks on sermon preparation. And so Isaac took them. He was taking them. It was, I don't know, 4 or 5 Saturdays that they got together, and so he put together a devotional, and he said, "Well, sometime I'd like to speak." And I said, "One of the kids in our church want to do that?" Yeah. And so today worked out really well. So I didn't have a chance to announce it earlier, but Isaac's going to do that, and then in a couple of weeks, Libby wrote a play for Easter, a resurrection, and so that's what we're going to have on Easter morning. I'm working myself out of a job here, but I think one of the joys of having a church family, a Christian family, but especially a church family, is we get to encourage our youth. We get the opportunity to encourage them to grow and to step out. And so Isaac is trepidatiously stepping out. Well, bear with him, all right? And bear with him. First time I preached, I did this. I didn't know I was doing it. The whole time I did this. And when I was done, my tie did this. I'm going, what is wrong with that? Didn't know it, but I was actually, so I said, don't wear a tie. Just don't wear a tie. So, Isaac, Lord bless you. Come on.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is really weird. Because I am used to being in the back. So, no one can see me. But up here, everyone can see me. So, I wanted to, this has been on my mind for quite a while, so I want to go through the subject of trials, which might sound weird coming through me because I am still pretty young, but I will, what I'm going to do is just going to be a little bit different. I'm going to go through this passage I studied, but I'm also going to give you my testimony too. Can you turn to James chapter 1? James chapter 1. I'm going to be going through verses 1 through 8. And there's a main point that I just wanted to get out of this, because this sermon is more of a remembering what we need to do when we go through these hardships and times that seem to be happening a lot more to other people because of what's happening in this world. Because there's just a lot of hurt happening, there's evil showing more, and people are just, they're hurting by it. So, in this passage, James wrote, he's talking to Christians. And so the main point that I'd like to get out of this is this. Let us honor God even through the worst of trials. And that seems pretty hard, but we'll go through it and I'll explain it a little bit, hopefully best I can. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage to you. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So like it says in verse 1, James wrote this to 12 tribes, but in verse 2 it talks about his brethren, so he's talking to Christians. So verse 2, consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It seems really hard to just say count it all joy for the fact that most of the time, anything bad that we end up being in, our response when we first get into that hardship is we are normally not very joyful about it. That's not really, most of the time, that's just not our first reaction because we hurt from it. So, however, through the trial that we go through, God calls us to commit to facing any trial while rejoicing because there is something that God wants to show us through the hurt. So God is not letting us go through that because of him not loving us, but he does love us and he's allowing us to go through it because there is a time, and I've experienced and I'll explain later, but there is a time when he's going to use that trial that you go through it through in your life later on. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, that testing of that specific trial, following Christ, when you commit to following Christ, that patience for that specific trial, God is going to use that, and you've been through it. I'll explain it right here. I wrote it down. You keep in mind that the testing of your faith will draw you closer to God and build you up to where you know what to do in that specific situation. So again, it's like God is going to use what you went through and work to where later in life, maybe, you can show someone and tell someone, hey, I know what you're going through because it's exactly what I went through. If it's a death or if it's depression, and this is what I did. So that's one way God can use it, what you went through. Verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So again, that endurance that you build up through God's help will give you that perfect result we wanted in that specific trial. So if it is you or someone else that goes through that something, same thing, you know what to do because God showed you. And I might be repeating myself a couple times, but I believe it's very important to understand and just bring in. Verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We need to have faith and ask God for spiritual guidance. Only such wisdom enables believers to be joyous and submissive in the trials of life, because God gives us the wisdom we need. We just need to ask him. For the one who seeks his wisdom, it will be provided. And what I believe what that's talking about is the reason God takes you through that trial is because you are lacking something. You're lacking his wisdom into knowing what to do as you go through it, because it's so hard, it's painful, it can be painful. Again, it could be talking about any kind of trial, big or small, but what we seek when we go through that is God's wisdom, because we feel like we're just stuck. I was going to say something else, but I don't remember. Verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man, verse 7, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So as you ask God to guide you through the trials, you ask in faith, knowing and believing that he will help you. Not having that trust in God can make you question his guidance, like if it were to happen or not. It can be hard, but again, the endurance that you have from a previous trial would help you with the pressure of the trial, that upcoming trial, putting it more at ease as you understand that God helped you before. He will help you again. But if someone holds that doubt and claims to believe God can maybe help, let that man not expect anything from the Lord. For he hasn't yet understood and seen what God wanted him to see through the trial. He still has that doubting mind, like, can God really help me through this? He has not fully committed to trusting God, because why? God has a perfect plan for us. So it's just that 100%, I'm going to go with you, Christ, no matter what. There is something I did want to bring up too. I don't know if it lines up with it, but I really like the song. It's called Even If. It's by Mercy Me. And in the chorus, I'll read it to you. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, and I know the hurt will all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. That song is saying something pretty special there. All we need is God. That's who we need. It's right there. I know it doesn't seem like a lot to present, but I did want to talk to you about a little bit of my testimony too. So when I was here, I'll go back to the beginning. When I was 10 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And at that point, that time, it was just one of the happiest things I've ever, best things I've ever done. And everything was great, because I'm like, oh, because I understood that Jesus is with me and he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And everything was fine. But as life went on for me, my teenage life, I didn't see it then, but I saw more and more that I was just, it just seemed like I was getting more, I guess, distant from God. I mean, it was becoming more uncommon for me to talk about him in my teenage life. But what I went through started around when I was 18 years old. At 18, I moved to my sister's. I felt like it was time for me to move out of mom and dad, so I moved to my sister Emily's house. And I just fell at the point where I was like, oh, this is going to be so sweet. I'm going to be independent. I can make, you know, decide what I want to do. 2 days later, or just not very long after that, I realized I had to be responsible too. I actually had to be an adult. That was not fun. I had to work. I had to pay bills, and I had to cook for myself. Three things I really don't like to do. But so anyways, that's kind of where it all started. And that was, I think that was midsummer, but as the months went by, you know, I started noticing that it didn't seem like I was helping much because I still wanted to do fun stuff. I still wanted to go out and hang out with my friends, and I just really wasn't thinking about how I needed to take care of myself and things at home. So it might be, I mean, it's a little hard for me to say, but my first winter that I went through at Emily's, that's when my depression started. I went through a depression of loneliness, of being alone, felt like I was alone and just not a part of anything. Because when I moved out and after I graduated, I was into sports. I was into high school sports big time. And it just was gone. It just, life just suddenly changed for me. But that first winter is when it really started showing. I didn't take care of myself, and most of the winter I was sick. I felt sick, and I even took half the winter off from work because I felt so bad. But something cool came out of it. There was someone that I knew God was working through that went through probably something similar because she knew what to say. And that someone was Emily. Oh my goodness, could she talk? I knew God was speaking through her. But it was just one day, like I wasn't doing anything, and she talked to me a lot about how I just didn't do dishes and all that. But she approached me one day, and I knew God was speaking through her because she told me something that kind of opened my eyes. She's like, "Isaac, if you keep doing this, I'm going to kick you out of my house." That's all I needed to hear. I got to thinking about that. I'm like, okay. So what do I do? Well, I felt stuck. I just didn't have that wisdom to understand what to do next. So I asked God, I'm like, what do I do? I want to get out of my ways, but I don't know how. And God showed me. He allowed me to go through that depression to show me just how much I actually needed him. So then on, I wanted to learn more about him, so I started reading my Bible more and just digging into his word. Well, about like maybe half a year later, I was given some information about a camp called Testify Camp. And when I saw that, I knew what it was about. They went to the Iowa State Fair, and we would share the Word of God. We'd pass out tracts. And I thought about that, and something was urging me to go. But it was hard to say yes, because that was something I wasn't used to. It wasn't common. Again, it wasn't common for me to talk about the Word of God at that time. And after just really hard thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to go by myself. I went by myself. I didn't know anyone there. But after I did that, being able to share the gospel and getting trained for it, I came back. I've never been happier after that. It was just one of the best things I've ever done, best moments of my life. I can tell you right now, I didn't mention it earlier, but after I got back from there, I don't think I have been felt like I was a whole lot closer to my family than I was then, because when I went through that depression, I just didn't feel that close to anyone at all. But after I went through that Testify Camp, oh my goodness, God really showed me what he wanted to show me. And it's just, my life I live now is just, it's great. So with that being said, that trial I went through, I don't consider it as a curse or anything like that. I consider it as a blessing. I want to count it all joy, because God allowed me to go through it, and he allowed me to experience what I was hurting on, and he just brought me out of my old ways, and I refound my faith in Christ. I don't know how else to put it. I lost sight of it, but it came back. I know it didn't seem very long, but I really wanted to share that with you. And I do want to share the gospel with you too, for those who don't know Christ. And that's this: God loves you, and God sent his son down to die for you and me. When, you know, we aren't perfect, I'm not perfect, and God showed me that. He really did, big time. But, you know, God says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to Christ, and that's through him. And all we need to do is understand that we have sinned, and we are lost without him. And I might be getting on a little bit of a rabbit trail if I keep talking, but anyways, I do want to point that out. God loves you, and if you're willing to ask him today, if you don't know him, and if you're willing to ask him to be with you forever, for eternity, then you can talk to me, or you can talk to most everyone in here. I know a lot of people in here that are Christians and do believe in Christ. I hope that was satisfying to hear. It is my first sermon, so it didn't seem like very long, but I just hope it was meaningful. I mean, I just hope it's something to think about. So I will bring this up one more time, the whole point of this sermon and my testimony. Honor God even through the worst of trials. I want you to think about that. So that's all I've got.
I'm sure that was exceedingly encouraging. Sorry, folks, I loved it. At this time, can I get the kids who are going to be baptized to